Today's message is largely based on a sermon written especially for today, Sanctity of Life Sunday, by the Reverend Michael Salamink, the executive director of Lutherans for Life. He is a very gifted writer, and I find it difficult and unnecessary to attempt to improve on his work, so this is not original with me. But nonetheless, six stone jars. Six stone jars crash the party at Cana. Six stone jars stand like guard, like sentries. Six stone jars stand for the purifying. Six stone jars can handle about 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Hard stone, heavy stone, even your eyes can feel it from here. The jars lurk in the shadows. The jars loom from both sides. The jars intimidate the guests. The jars limit the festivities. Six stone jars, man post and keep watch. If these jars could talk, what would they say? If these jars could talk, they would say, "We know your name." They'd say, "We know who you are." They'd say, "We've witnessed your secrets. We've seen the skeletons. We've logged your vices, the private ones. We've studied your immoralities and scrutinized your deficiencies." They'd testify. They'd tattle for all to hear. They'd accuse. They'd indict before God and everyone and say, "You, with the lustful eyes, you require cleansing." These jars, they would scowl, they'd scold to the whole wide world, and they'd say, "You there with the indulgent belly, you could use decontamination, a good sanitizing." These jars, they'd announce at the top of their lungs, "You there with the arrogant heart, you call for scouring." They'd bark, "You with the fiery tongue, you must soak, you must drown." They'd divulge, they'd condemn, and they'd say, "You with the raised hands, you your turn for quenching. You there with the straying feet, your time for extinguishing. You there with the snaking spine, you've gotten soiled and stained. You're smearing and smudging everything you touch." If these jars could talk, they'd say, "You're just going to screw it all up again. You'll ruin this one too, like always." Details may change from age to age, but the plot remains the same. Six stone jars still open their mouths from age to age the same. Life issues confront us just like six stone jars. Life issues such as experiments on embryos, assisted suicide, and abortion, they affect you. These matters where the devil deceives people in viewing death as a solution to distress, they involve you. These conversations about disability or depression and dementia, they do apply to you. These debates about infertility, about contraception, and about unexpected pregnancy, discomfort and diagnoses, abuse and addiction and grief and guilt, they concern you whether you like it or not. And that's exactly why we don't want to address them, isn't it? That's precisely why we'd rather make no big deal of such evils. We realize that once the fingers start pointing, they soon begin to take aim at us. We recognize that if the convicting begins, our case and its iniquities will come up soon. You have your own indiscretions, don't you? You have your own skeletons and secrets. You have your own mistakes and failures. You've gratified your flesh's appetites and made idols of its urges. You've engaged your sexuality with someone other than your spouse. You've lent your voice to popular sentiments. You've contemplated violence against someone or even to your own body to lessen their suffering, but more so to stem your own. You've considered making one neighbor or another go away because they represented an interruption to your whims and a hindrance to your impulses. You've exploited sisters for your entertainment and used brothers for your advancement. You've neglected responsibilities to family and discarded obligations to community. You've ignored pleas for help and overlooked opportunities to save the vulnerable. You've dispensed with God's doctrines when they've become uncomfortable or even just inconvenient. You've devised thin disguises and flung flimsy excuses for your violence and neglect and silence. So we want to leave our options open. We want all escape routes left available, obstructing us at every turn. Our sidestepping hasn't succeeded in silencing them. If anything, it only invited them to object louder. Reality bends, but only so far, and then snaps back and slaps us every time, long before it even appears to be near the breaking point. The life issues are simple. They are clear, and we know it. You shall not murder has no gray areas. You shall not murder has no mitigating circumstances. You shall not murder has no legitimately defined perspectives. The law demands compliance, restitution, atonement, or amends. It isn't the problem. We're the problem. It has stone. We have flesh. Our rebellious and sinful nature. The law must get blood, yours and mine, gallons of it, all of it. 6 stone jars salivate insatiably, and burying our heads in the sand only exposes our necks. Thank God these jars cannot talk. Jars can't talk at all, they just echo. And Jesus has made these jars into bullhorns for his own words. Jesus has made Cana's 6 stone jars into his personal public address system. He didn't commence these proceedings. What does this have to do with me, he asked. My hour has not yet come. But he certainly concludes them. He didn't start this argument, but he sure makes it his business to finish it. Jesus Christ takes on the 6 jars, takes them up, and takes them over. God's Son enters into the pain and the pain, the plain and the painful, the life and death, the good versus evil. He ladles his own wholeness and holiness. He spills full strength extract of heaven's intervention down into their mouths. He splashes and saturates their mouths with 200-proof elixir of his almighty, I got this. The Creator incarnate distills pure mercy directly into the jar's jaws. The Savior inhabits and occupies their accusations, endures and abides their curses on the cross. He dies to take responsibility for the ruin, the screw-up, the wreckage. Then Jesus makes them repeat sweet things. Filled to overflowing, the stone jars proclaim atonement offered. The stone jars declare everything Jesus secured by his suffering and his death on that cross. Amends made, price paid, debts settled. They shout, accounts balanced, wrath exacted, punishment satisfied, justice served, sins forgiven, and offenders exonerated. The Lord Jesus causes 6 stone jars to ring out a new song of the Father's compassion, resurrection everlasting, heavenly kingdom, and household inherited. He draws out of these jars promises instead of regrets, joy instead of guilt, hope replacing fear for every feast invitee. He coaxes forth crescending tones of sanctity and significance and salvation that embrace each wayward woman as a bride. He wrenches relief and healing, peace and rest, beloved belonging, precious specialness, privilege and purpose that receives every wandered off man as a groom. And the jars, the very stone ones, they can't help but holler and herald him as Emmanuel. He rules as interceder for whom no situation is too tiny, no condition is too trivial, and no cause too hopeless or lost. He reigns as redeemer, crucified and risen, for whom impossible, terminal, tragic, chronic, uncertain only means opportunity. For this God, Jesus, does not change or fail. From age to age unto eternity, he is the same as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. With stone steadfastness, the jars still echo. Life issues reverberate like jars with reasons for rejoicing from age to age the same. Jesus makes the issues echo his sweet things just like Cana's jars. Zygotes and embryos serve as signs of how God intimately and meticulously knit each of us together in his image and for his enjoyment, proclaiming you and all human beings special. Chronic pain and terminal illness remind us that he became flesh. He carried our sorrows to the cross. He reconciled the universe, and he accompanies us through the very valley of the shadow of death itself, proving you and every human being precious. Dementia and disability, unresponsiveness and incapacitated cases resound with how he calls into his household, how he connects eternally to his church, how he temples bodies with his Holy Spirit, pronouncing you and each human being priceless. Guilt and grief, even from involvement in abortion or assisted suicide or other decisions leading toward death, introduce a tune to which God's grace conducts a completion. His unconditional love that yielded up his life on Calvary gives you and every human life value, notwithstanding age or appearance or abilities or past sinful acts. Procreation and pregnancy recall the baptismal relationship in which God births us into his family and binds himself as Father to fallen sinners and broken creatures forever. Sexuality and marriage reaffirm Holy Communion, where he offers his body and his blood and life to the benefit and enjoyment of understanding undeserving ones. Difficult conversations or emotional debates or controversy and advocacy cue the word of God that lights the road to life immortal. Unanswered prayers or unfulfilled longings or mysteries and anxieties nod to faith, which waits upon God's times and terms, hope, which rests in his good and gracious will. And though the bitter burns, the sweetness we know will linger long after the world's ways and the merriments of men strike their midnight expirations. For 40 years, Lutherans for Life has consistently shared it. We have declared God's truth with courage because we receive it from him. We have demonstrated Christ's love with compassion as we reflect it from him. We proclaim it and perform it because he does so unto us, even for the least of these. We will continue to contemplate and celebrate God's gift of life in the worshiping assembly. We will keep getting educated together in thinking and talking about God's gift of love. We will deal in gospel gratitude, not anger, in gospel gladness, not competing, and in gospel anticipation, not panic. From age to age, be it ages of civilizations or the ages of individuals, God never gives up, and neither do his people. The wedding feast is only begun, and the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen.